This is HealthCast, the podcast from Ascension, Illinois. Emphysema is a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease often associated with smoking, attacking the lungs, leaving the person with a chronic cough and difficulty breathing. What are possible treatments for patients beyond medication only? Prakash Chandran asks Dr. Niraj Desai, an interventional pulmonology and pulmonary specialist at Ascension, Illinois.
So Dr. Desai, thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate your time. So I described this briefly at the top, but I was hoping that you could just start by telling us what exactly is emphysema.
Thank you so much, Prakash. Thanks for inviting me. That is a great question. And oftentimes this comes up when we are talking to our patients and giving this diagnosis. So emphysema develops over time and it involves gradual damage of lung tissue, specifically destruction of the alveoli, you know, what we call as the tiny air sacs in our lung. And oftentimes these air sacs either rupture or over a period of time, they lose their elasticity and they're not able to empty out air completely from their lungs. And what it does, Prakash, is that it causes the air to be retained in the lungs and eventually hyperinflation. So really the big problem in emphysema is that patients cannot empty out their lungs completely.
Understood. And just for clarity, you mentioned that it was something that develops over time and there's gradual damage. What is the most common cause of emphysema?
One of the most common causes of emphysema, it remains sadly, tobacco smoking is the number one cause. That said, there are some genetic causes that actually are linked to emphysema, like alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, and also some aspects of air pollution is also linked to emphysema.
Now, one of the things that we're talking about is lung volume reduction. Could you talk a little bit about what that is and how it benefits patients?
So just like we were talking about emphysema, there's a lot of air trapping. So what happens is over a period of time, the trapped air becomes more and eventually it causes the lungs to hyperinflate. And really those portions that have been diseased or hyperinflated are not functioning well. And in that setting, what the treatment usually revolves around, either you decrease that air trapping by medications, or you consider invasive options, one of them being taking it out by surgery, or even valves, you know, or bronchoscopic lung volume reduction to decrease that hyperinflation.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you to expand on the different approaches to lung volume reduction. So you mentioned the decreasing of the air trapping through medication, invasive options around surgery. Can you talk a little bit more about the different approaches, I guess, in a little more detail and when they're actually indicated?
Yes, absolutely. There are two types of lung volume reduction procedures. One is surgically. You simply cut out the part that is hyperinflated or not working that well and retaining air. Or you deflate it by putting in valve by bronchoscopic technique in case what we call as bronchoscopic lung volume reduction.
Yeah, so I heard that that is the minimally invasive procedure, also known as BLVR. Who exactly is a good candidate for this latest approach?
So bronchoscopic lung volume reduction, BLVR, is, as I mentioned, a bronchoscopic procedure. So very minimally invasive procedure where we go in with a camera and deploy valves. The best candidates for BLVR are patients who have COPD emphysema, and they do not have any history of major lung procedures such as lung transplant, and they do not have major heart conditions that would put them at higher risk when they are undergoing anesthesia or procedure. And one of the important things that we always look for in our patients before they commit to a bronchoscopic lung volume reduction is that they have not smoked for at least 4 months before the valve procedure.
Okay. And so you talked a little bit about medication to reduce the air trapping. Is that generally a consideration even for the good candidates that are eligible for the BLVR procedure?
Yes. And overall, when we are evaluating a patient, we want to make sure that they have been optimized by all the less invasive or medications that are available. So they are on the maximal therapy of inhalers, have gone through pulmonary rehab before we offer them invasive procedures. So we usually have that discussion. If they're not on any therapy in the clinic, when we're evaluating, we would actually put them on inhalers before considering valves.
Okay, and you're already covering this, but is there any more detail around the process and workup leading up to the actual valve procedure?
Absolutely. I think one of the key things that we do in our initial evaluation for valves is, number one, confirm the diagnosis of emphysema. And that is usually done by doing a complete pulmonary function test. And we also then proceed with several other tests that will help us identify if patients are good candidates for valves or not, such as walking them around, doing 6-minute walk test. We will check arterial blood gas analysis to look for their CO2 and O2 levels. We will go through a dedicated CT scan to identify any other reasons for their shortness of breath. And also at the same time, look at the evidence, look at the destruction around the emphysema. And eventually, once these tests are done, we take the CT scan and load it on a software, which gives us information about the destruction and also the potential targets where we could place the valves.
And I actually just wanted to expand on the initial diagnosis of emphysema. You said that one of the things that you do is sit with the patient just to make sure they actually have it. What are some other things that cause false positives where you might think it's emphysema, but it ends up being something else?
When we are looking at patients who have shortness of breath and history of COPD, there are a lot of things that come into play, such as we have diagnosed in our evaluation untreated pulmonary hypertension, a common diagnosis that is missed often. And also sometimes patients may have pulmonary embolism, and we have detected lung cancers also in our CT scan. So getting a thorough workup before a valve procedure or bronchoscopic lung volume reduction is very important in this setting.
Okay, understood. And so I know we're going to talk in more detail in another conversation, but perhaps you could talk to us a little bit about the length of the BLVR procedure, what patients can expect, including the hospital stay experience and post-discharge follow-up.
Yeah, I'm going to walk you through what the patient goes through when they are undergoing bronchoscopic lung volume reduction. First, you know, our scheduling team contacts them to schedule the procedure. And once they are scheduled for the procedure, they come in into our interventional pulmonology suite. And the procedure is done under general anesthesia. So we have an anesthesiologist and we do it via endotracheal tube. Once the patient is sedated, then we go ahead and again analyze and assess the patient's lungs, make sure that we are not encountering any other abnormalities that we had not detected on the CT scan. And once the patient is deemed to be a good candidate, we go ahead and place the valves in the predetermined targets that we have identified already on the CT scan. Now, usually it takes about 3 to 5 endobronchial valves to cause the deflation, what we call as bronchoscopic lung volume reduction. And the procedure takes about 1 hour for us to deploy these valves. Now, once the procedure is completed, then the endotracheal tube is taken out and the patients go to the recovery room. If we do place the valve, that means it is a good candidate for valves. They do stay in the hospital for 3 days after the procedure to be monitored.
Okay, yeah, thank you for that overview of what the patient's experience is like. Now, this all sounds really fascinating. I was hoping that you might be able to share some facility outcomes or any data that you have around the success of BLVR.
Absolutely. And our center has been one of the leading centers in placing these bronchoscopic lung volume reduction valve procedures. And we were one of the first centers actually that started doing these valves in the Chicagoland area. Our outcomes are very similar to what we have seen in Liberate and also in IMPROVE study as well. And our patients have actually done really well in terms of their quality of life and also improving their lung functions.
That sounds absolutely amazing. Dr. Desai, just before we close here, is there anything else that you wanted to share regarding, you know, BLVR or anything else we've discussed today?
No, I think one thing which I would like to mention, Prakash, is that obviously many physicians and providers may not be a specific intervention, and there are a lot of other interventions that are coming out for emphysema and also COPD. It's always good to be updated with these nuances, especially if your patients are not getting better, and reach out for any additional interventions.
Well, Dr. Desai, thank you so much for your time today. Truly informative.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Niraj Desai, an interventional pulmonology and pulmonary specialist at Ascension, Illinois.
Thanks for listening to Ascension, Illinois HealthCast. If you or a loved one is suffering from emphysema or COPD, find out if BLVR is recommended for you. Learn more and find an Ascension, Illinois pulmonologist near you at ascension.org/IL lung care.